I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's chat some hoops right now. We'll do so with the NBA insider, the great talk show host on SiriusXM NBA Radio, Justin Termini, here with us on the show. Justin, thanks for the time. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing a little better because I know we're going to get some basketball to keep me busy here in at least August, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's great that we're getting the sport back. We find some details out about the format today. 22 teams, you will have then the 8 regular season games, and then you could have a play-in between the 8th seed and the 9th seed if the 9th seed's within 4 games of the 8th seed. Do you like the format that was leaked today from Woj and Shams?
Yeah, I mean, if it was my preference, I would just go straight to the 16 teams that are currently in the postseason and split them up 8 in the East, 8 in the West, and then play a couple of maybe exhibition games to get everybody back in shape and then go into it, just based off the fact you have so many hoops that you have to jump through anyway, right? Like, what happens if somebody gets sick? And then what if that somebody is LeBron? What if it's Giannis? What if it's Anthony Davis? What if it's like 5 or 6 guys from one team? Then how do you deal with it? So I think the NBA has so many things that they have to deal with anyway. Why add something else to the mix where you create a play-in, which you're unfamiliar with, you haven't done before, you bring more teams down there? So I personally would have went 1 through 16, but I have no issues with them bringing down 22 teams just because I understand that they have to do things more based off money. I'm looking at it from a fan's perspective. They're looking at it from monetary outlook here, so I have no major issues. I'm just happy we have games back.
I'm in the same boat as you, as I thought they should have just gone right to the playoffs, 1 through 8 in the East, 1 through 8 in the West. Why put this play-in game, though, and the potential play-in game where if you're the 8th seed, you only got to win 1 game. If you're the 9th seed, you got to win 2 games. Why do that if you're having 8 regular season games?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's just one thing where they're trying to maybe test it out in the future because Adam Silver is always throwing stuff against the wall and seeing if it would stick, right? He's very open to making changes. We hear that he wants to do the mid-season tournament. We've heard about the play-in before. So I think this is just something where he could fit it into something that would get approved by the owners, and he wants to test it out a little bit. Maybe they use it in future years.
The way I also read it, too, and they don't care who's going to be the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference, but the 8th seed in the Western Conference, even though I like Ja Morant and that Memphis team, and I'll actually be pulling for them to be that 8th seed because I think they should be in, it comes off to me as the NBA wanting either Zion or the Trailblazers and giving them every opportunity to try to get the Pelicans or the Trailblazers into the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, would it be, you know, nice, I guess, from a fan perspective to see Damian Lillard there? I guess. I mean, they're going to get wiped out in the first round anyway by the Lakers unless Lillard somehow got hot for 4 or 5 games. And we saw him the night that they honored Kobe Bryant there in L.A. with the first game back. Like, he dropped 50 points in Portland that ended up winning. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Zion is probably the real draw there, where if you can somehow get him into a first round against the Lakers, right, because that's essentially what would happen. If they're in the postseason, it would be the 8th seed, the Pelicans. They'd be going up against the Lakers there in the first round, and that would be a ratings kill because you'd have Zion going up against LeBron, the next LeBron, supposedly. So I agree with you that maybe it comes off at least smelling that way a little bit.
Justin Termini here with us from SiriusXM NBA Radio. You can hear him weekdays 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern. NBA playoff games are now going to be going up against NFL regular season games. And I actually saw that the Game 7 of the NBA Finals would be a Monday Night Football game. I think it's Saints and Chargers would be that matchup. How do you think the NBA will do ratings-wise when they're going up against the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good test when you get to the NBA Finals. You'd assume, like, hey, this is the pinnacle. And I think it'll probably depend whether LeBron's involved, right? I mean, I think that'll be the selling point as much as, you know, as good as Giannis is, as good as the Clippers are, to go up against the NFL. I think the NFL might even win if LeBron's involved. But if LeBron's involved, I think it gives you a much better shot. I mean, he goes to the finals every single year outside of last year anyway. And the ratings were down a little bit last year as a result of him not being involved. So I think several things are in play, but certainly I'm assuming the NBA would like to avoid a Game 7 going up against Monday Night Football and then losing out to like a Chargers-Saints game, because that would tend to be, I would assume, kind of embarrassing for the league.
Yeah, it would be. And before the season had to take the break because of the coronavirus pandemic, I think most of us, if not all of us, had three teams that could win the championship this year: the Lakers, the Bucks, and the Clippers. Do you still feel that way, that it's going to be one of those three teams that wins it all?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I think that it opens it up for maybe an upset just because it's an unknown, right? You're not going to have the home court advantage, and maybe you'll see, like, a guy come back out of shape, or you'll see some other teams get healthy, just how teams mentally approach it. So I think that it opens up the opportunity a little bit deeper into the seedings, where maybe a Houston in the Western Conference is able to win as a result of this. Maybe a Boston is able to win, or Miami gets hot at the right time and is able to upset Milwaukee. They've had some success against them during the regular season. So I still anticipate it'll be against, you know, the Bucks against the Lakers or the Clippers, but I wouldn't be shocked if we saw an upset just because there's so many unknowns that we're dealing with heading in.
I know there's so many unknowns, like you're saying, as Justin Termini is here with us, but rank them 1, 2, 3, Bucks, Lakers, Clippers, best to worst, in your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would go with the Lakers just because we've seen LeBron do it before, right? And Anthony Davis, it's two top five players in the sport, so there's less guys that they kind of rely on, especially if somebody were to get sick, right? A role player outside of Giannis, outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis, I think they're better suited for that. Then I would go to the Bucks, and I would put the Clippers last, even though you're going to say to me, well, you said LeBron's got the experience, Kawhi's got the experience. I'm just fearful of their continuity because Paul George and Kawhi, they were in and out of the lineup all season long. I just never felt like they were able to click and utilize that familiarity. So they don't really have the continuity maybe as much as those other teams who, the Lakers went out there and, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron first year together, but they still played a lot of games together. The Bucks have been together for a couple of years, at least their core. So I think the Clippers will be a little bit at a disadvantage. So I would say Lakers 1, then Bucks, then Clippers.
I know Giannis is under contract for another year. If the Bucks get to the finals this year, not necessarily win it, just get to the finals, do you think that's enough to make him say that, you know, I'm going to actually stay Milwaukee long term?
Yeah, I mean, I think he should stay there long term, and I think because he's an international star, you know, that he's maybe more likely to stay there a little bit. It seems like some of the guys that play AAU basketball and grow up in this environment, they can't wait to jump out there and go play with their friends in other markets. But I think it should be enough to keep him to stay because it's a very good team. I mean, Chris Middleton's a very good player. He's about to average 20-plus points and do it while shooting 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90% from the line, which is done by just about, you know, 7 or 8 other guys in NBA history. So I think he should stay. I think it should be enough. But, I mean, I think what we've learned from the last couple of years when these guys are just bouncing all over the place, it's almost impossible to get into their minds.
If you had to pick one team where, let's say, Giannis is leaving the Bucks, one team that you say, okay, that's the team that you think he would go to right now, gut reaction, what would that one team be?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, here, I guess Toronto is a place. His relationship with Masai Ujiri, and, you know, they got a young team outside of, like, Kyle Lowry, but, you know, young pieces like Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, Fred Davis, who's a rookie here this past season as well. So, like, maybe that's a team where he ends up going. Maybe the Miami Heat. He's linked there all the time. So I guess those would be the first two that jump to mind.
How about the Warriors? Could that be a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, that's another one that you hear all the time. I think it's probably going to be a little bit more difficult because of this might help the Bucks, the fact that, hey, you've got Daryl Morey and the China controversy, and then you've got the COVID here, which I'm sure is going to take down the salary cap as well. So I'm not sure how they may afford him. Now, again, I think it's an unknown. We've got to see how it's going to play out. But if you're already paying Draymond, you're already paying Clay, you're paying Curry, might be a little bit more difficult to fit him in any type of salary cap situation if that comes drastically down because of all the unknowns.
Justin Termini here with us for a few more minutes. SiriusXM NBA Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. In this offseason, What do you anticipate happens with Bradley Beal with all the Nets rumors that are out there right now?
Yeah, we just talked to his agent yesterday, Mark Bartelstein, on the program, and he has been adamant, and even in all the conversations that I've had with him the last couple of months, that like Bradley wants to stay there, and Bradley's like an upstanding citizen. Like of all the guys you talk to in the NBA, I mean, he's at the top of the line. I just don't see why he would want to stay in Washington. I understand that. I respect the loyalty, right? Because we get none of it in sports, and I'll be the first to stand up and applaud if he stays there. Like, I think the championship example for Dirk Nowitzki means more than the championship for Durant or LeBron or other guys that have bounced around in search of one, because he stayed and he fought through it. So I love the fact that he at least publicly is saying that he wants to stay. I just don't see how they work out a winning situation down there, because when John Wall comes back, he's going to be 30 years of age. His game was starting to slip anyway. He's never had a jump shot. And now the most important aspect of his game, which is explosiveness, I assume would be gone. And he's just not a fit with Beal as well, because I think what Beal has showed you this past year is he needs the basketball in order to succeed. So I could see Beal getting moved. I don't necessarily know if the Nets would have an easy time being the front runner, just because this guy, I think, is one of the top 10 players in the league, and everybody is going to throw all their assets at Washington in order to get him. So could I see him moving? Absolutely. Do I think the Nets would be the front runner to get him? They got a good shot, got some nice young pieces, but there's going to be a lot of competition for him. He's that good.
Who's coaching the Nets next year?
That's a question for Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, because they're,
yeah, right?
I think, run the organization, right? I mean, so it's going to be whoever they say they want, and I guess the names that you would think of, Ty Lue, because the relationship with Kyrie Irving in Cleveland, even though it wasn't a great relationship when he left there, right? He was quoted as saying something like he wanted to work for a coach that had basketball intellect in Brad Stevens. That didn't work out well. So, I mean, Kyrie maybe picks Ty Lue. Maybe they pick Mark Jackson. He seems to be another guy that has a pretty close relationship with those two guys. Whoever it is, I know the selection is going to be whoever Durant and Kyrie want it to be, even if they say they had nothing to do with it.
Do you think there could be a shot that Jason Kidd makes that triumphant return to Brooklyn and try to get that second part of his Nets coaching career be better than his first part, which was a spilled cup of water probably being the highlight?
Yeah, exactly. Like, to me, it'd be like absolutely stunning to see him back there. In that, like, it's like one of those things, like, fool me once, what is it, the saying? Shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. This would be like them giving him a third time to fool them. I don't even know what the saying is for that, because as a player, he kind of weaseled his way out of there, right? Under the table a little bit. And then he did the same thing as a coach when he got out of there after they gave him the opportunity after just one season. So it's like a third time. But again, I guess it's new ownership. And it's Kyrie and Kevin Durant getting the decision, not necessarily ownership or management. So it wouldn't stun me to see Kidd back there either.
Let me get two more thoughts on you from a coaching standpoint. Knicks job and then the Rockets job. What's going to go on with their coaching situations next season?
Yeah, well, it seems like it's going to be Tom Thibodeau with the Knicks. At least that's all the reports, right? And he's got the relationship there with Leon Rose from CEA, so they're close. He spent several years under Van Gundy, so he knows the New York relationship and how that goes with the city. And I think he deserves another shot, because people are going to point to Andrew Wiggins, Carl Anthony Towns in Minnesota and say, well, you know, he didn't develop those young players well, and you got to develop young players in New York like R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson. But I say, well, don't look at Minnesota. Look at Chicago, where he developed Jimmy Butler. He developed Joakim Noah. He developed Derrick Rose, who at the age of 22 won an MVP under him. So he has worked well with young players in the past. And he gets you to the postseason every single time. Like, when he spends a full year with your organization, I think it's six of his seven full seasons with either the Bulls or the Timberwolves, he got him to the postseason. I think he deserves credit for that. And the Knicks just want to get to the postseason. Like, that's a win. We're not asking for a championship here. So I like giving Tom Thibodeau another opportunity in New York. I think that's best for him. As far as Houston, I think it's insane that they would change off of Mike D'Antoni. How about some continuity? Like, every year in Houston, continuity is such an important part to winning. And Houston, they're changing everything every year. It's not working with Dwight Howard. Let's go out and get this. We'll get Chris Paul, regardless of fit. All right, it's not working with Chris Paul. Let's go out and get let's get Russell Westbrook. It's not working with Kevin McHale, Mike D'Antoni. Like, there's too many changes down there. Continuity-wise, I think they should keep him. And he's done nothing to deserve being fired.
Are you buying any stock into Houston going into this postseason? I know everyone's talking about Harden slimming down, but until he fattens up in the fourth quarter on the stat sheet with some points in playoff games, it's tough for me. Even though I like James Harden the regular season, it's tough for me to buy stock in the Rockets.
Well, yeah, and they always use the – here's the positive for them, I guess, is they always use the excuse of, oh, Harden's fatigued by the time they get to the postseason. Well, he's not going to be fatigued this year. He's had a couple of months to rest. And I also see that he's lost a ton of weight. He's working out in Phoenix. So, like, maybe he'll be in a better mindset, and physically he'll be in better shape heading into the postseason. Also, maybe the other edge that you would give them is, all right, well, right now they're the sixth seed. It looks like they're going to be the sixth or the fifth seed. They go in there as a lower seed. They're not going to have to deal with playing on the road. Every game is going to be played on a neutral site. So that'll be something else that I think that helps them. So I think they could be dangerous. They might be that third team behind the Lakers and the Clippers, but I still don't think that they are the Lakers and the Clippers.
What do you think? And you mentioned the home site and how that's not going to have any effect with it being a neutral site this year in Orlando for the postseason. Now, I look at a team like Philadelphia. There was all this talk going into the season. They lose Butler. They lose Redick. You know, Ben Simmons can't still shoot a 3-point shot. You know, there's always talk about Brett Brown and his job status. This team has been disappointing this year. What happens with the Sixers in this offseason, in your opinion, Justin Termini?
Yeah, I would say that Brett Brown's probably on the hot seat, right? I think that he's gone, unless they make a run towards the NBA Finals. I thought Brett Brown was going after last season as well, and I guess Joel Embiid really went to bat for him. And I have no issue with Brett Brown, but it seems like there's a problem there with accountability and leadership, right? With Joel Embiid and Simmons, do they get along? Is Embiid ever going to get in shape? Is somebody going to, you know, get Ben Simmons to work on his jump shot and force him to take an outside shot? So, like, you haven't seen the development in those two guys and just them as a team as a whole. So I think that that's a place where you're definitely going to see a change, and I can see the reason for it. In regards to Houston, I think there'll be a change there as well with Mike D'Antoni, but I don't think there's a reason for it.
Let me ask you this before we let you run, Justin Termini. The Dolan situation with not giving a public statement and then having the emails leaked out, and you hear people are upset in the organization, and deservedly so, in the response or the lack of response by Dolan from the murder of George Floyd a week and a half ago. You know, with Dolan, nothing surprises me, but like this one, it's really actually surprising how he thought that this was a good idea to approach it this way.
Yeah, regardless of you know what you think personally or anybody thinks personally, all that matters is what the NBA player thinks, right? So if you're looking at this from the perspective of human decency is one thing. Another thing is just like, hey, you know, how is this going to be perceived by the public? At the very least, you have to have the common sense to just approach it from that angle, and it doesn't look like it was approached from that angle.
Before we let you run, last one for Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio. MVP and Coach of the Year, I think Nick Nurse is the obvious one for Coach of the Year, and then I would go Giannis as MVP. How about yourself?
Yeah, those are the two easiest ones to vote on. It's Giannis is an easy MVP. It shouldn't be close. The only people that are going to vote for LeBron are the people, and there are people out there whose integrity has been compromised because they got to get the quote from LeBron, right? So those will be the people that vote for LeBron. Outside of that, there's no excuse not to go in that direction. Nick Nurse, to me, is the easy Coach of the Year as well. People I've talked to around the league think that that's a pretty easy decision as well. And I think Rookie of the Year is another one that's easy, and that's going to be Ja Morant.
And then last one for you, the start of next season, is that going to be Christmas Day? How do you envision the start of next season?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously haven't heard the exact specifics. I'm not even sure if the league knows at this point. That might be a time that they're targeting because historically there's been talk that they'd like to move the season to Christmas Day as well. Now, whether that's something that they're going to use in order to make it a permanent thing, I don't know. I think the players would fight back a little bit on that. But, like, mentally, as I prepare for, like, what my schedule is, right now I am anticipating that Christmas Day, somewhere around there, would be the opening of next year.
JT, thank you so much. Be safe.
All right, I appreciate it, bud. Thanks for having me on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.